Good evening, and welcome to this week's show. We've an action-packed hour and a half coming up for you.
Do we? I should have brought my hiking boots.
Well, I've got my DMs.
Dr. Martens?
No, deerskin moccasins. These are my indoor shoes.
Ooh, they look comfy. Fur-lined.
That is genuine mock seti rabbit fur, that is.
Poor mock rabbits. That's cruelty, that is.
Now you're taking the mickey.
You're mocking my mock moccasins, ya bam.
I have no idea at all where this conversation is going. Right, now shush before I put the boot in.
Best foot forward.
Time to go toe-to-toe with the news. Base assaults, now with batteries. We shine a light on this story.
Sticky fingers, slightly less sticky after PF legal ruling.
Dumpster diving Dav in no hope at Dav's hope worry.
Hutton Orbital Preservation Society hops to it.
Lost in space!
Lost in stats, more like. I cast an eye over Alvin's domain.
And my roving eye is going a little further afield with the community events this week.
In recent weeks, and in a protest against the ongoing campaign by Pilots Federation members to steal just about anything that they could lay their hands on and cause sleepy, sleepy night-night time for any scavengers or indeed settlement security patrolling, the trade body representing security personnel has staged a campaign to highlight their plight. The Settlements Association of Security Staff, or SAS, turned off their torches and fitted all personnel with night vision. With well over 50% of the settlements in the bubble in the night side of their respective planets, many tidally locked planets have settlements on the dark side to protect them from solar radiation. This has meant that station security have been able to do their jobs in relative safety, sneaking around like ninja warriors and creeping up on unsuspecting scavengers before giving them a jolly good drubbing. There were rumours that the real reason behind it was that someone had stolen all the batteries. Definitely not looking at Commander Rampage here, but settlements were speedy to reassure everyone that, unlike opinion polls, which are deeply popular but frowned upon on Galtwit, batteries are in plentiful supply, and the change was absolutely deliberate. The Pilots Federation Safety Inspectorate has stomped down hard on this practice, though, citing a rash of personal injury insurance claims from oafish security personnel who had stubbed their toe, tripped over a box, fallen down a big pit, and accidentally stood in the beam of a mining laser as a result of not being able to see where they were going properly. That, and the settlements themselves were none too happy at a massive engineer material requirement for supplying all of their staff with night vision. They have insisted that all security personnel should use a standard issue lamp when patrolling at night, with the prerequisite cool white bulb installed. The use of red, blue, and even brown bulbs is frowned upon. Brown lights being a new invention by scientists working for Professor Palin after extensive study of Thargoids, post-Thargoid Commander flight suits, and hitherto unexplainable scientific phenomena. In retaliation, the SAS have been issuing their security personnel with new training, rocket launchers, uprated lasers, and a big black nightstick for thwacking you over the head if they catch you. Due to shortages, there are rumours that Wanda of Wanda's Massage and Personal Relaxation Emporium is rather upset that supplies of her Ladytron 7000 personal entertainment devices have been repurposed as offensive weapons and sold to the military, leaving her customers decidedly unsatisfied.
Remaining on the subject of scavenging, the lighter-fingered Hutton truckers, yeah, we're looking at you again, Commander Rampage, have been hampered in the last week or so by another safety ruling by the Pilots Federation. Whilst loitering is a crime punishable by extreme laser doom, a hair trigger response to every exciting situation and the resulting premature activation of your lasers often leads to an angry response from your intended target. There's one thing that's not a crime. Crime. Yes, the art of looting a base without any consequence whatsoever has been classified as mostly legal in many systems. Yes, if someone catches you with a pad full of cat vids you've looted from a base or pocketfuls of titanium that may have been previously owned by someone else, they'll get quite upset and put the alarms on. The actual act of taking them is not illegal. As a result, the Pilots' Federation noticed that the sticky-fingered, klepto-inclined pilots of the galaxy had developed a habit of just casually picking up everything they find lying around like some kind of power-suited, heavily armed womble. This led to a number of incidents of, I didn't realise it was yours, what, this, never seen this before in my life, and you must have planted it on me, you dirty, rotten cop. By absent-minded commanders with deep pockets and a liberal approach to the concept of ownership. To solve this, the Pilots' Federation installed a new software inhibitor in flight suits, freezing them for a whole second when picking up something that didn't belong to you, or attaching an e-breach to a terminal to prevent you accidentally hacking into and robbing something, presumably. On picking something up, you are now required to look at it for a second, look around to see if anyone spotted you, clean your nails, wipe your visor, and then stick it in your backpack. For a big cabinet, this turned a high-speed arm sweep into your pack into an item-by-item careful process. After a protest by pilots that actually taking something wasn't illegal, and of course, that they were time limited and didn't want to wait to get caught as having the items is definitely illegal, they've reversed their decision and you can now once again rob a settlement to your heart's content.
Gav's Hope has long been one of the best sources in the galaxy for the odds and sods that you need for engineers. That left-handed 316 Scripley, the jaw and strong in the arm, who do you call it? Dav's Hope. Commander Dav is a hoarder. All old bits of software, SCART cables, USB dongles, anything at all can be found lying around in his yard. But demand for Dav's diddly doodahs has outstripped supply. As fast as it tolls car boot sales, scrapyards, the aftermath of interstellar wars, commanders are repurposing and upcycling anything he can lay his hands on faster than he can limpet them all up. There are rumours that at Dav's Hope you now have no hope of finding what you need, and commanders are looking for new locations. Dom's Corner, Sally's Salvage, Arthur's Daily, maybe even Bourbon's Grotto. Though we think that's on Raxler. The Jameson site has been relentlessly looted and people have even taken to more precursive means of obtaining their goodies by creating their own scrap in resource sites. We have reached out to Commander Dav, but he was busy dumpster diving and didn't have a second to talk to us.
The Brewer Corporation have submitted a controversial planning request today for Hutton authorities to add a large pad to the station. A spokesperson for Brewer said, although the medium pad was large enough for us to park a Python on, it just does not have the facilities to support the larger ships needed to keep up with the demand for tritium. It makes sense to add just one large pad to the orbital. Oh, and an executive lounge, and a gift shop obviously, and maybe some fancier shops. And would it kill you people to build a decent restaurant in this place? Since the introduction of fleet carriers, the demand for tritium has skyrocketed. Get it? Okay, I'll move on. Refinery stations have been overrun by demands for the new wonder fuel, and this heralds a move by Brewer to streamline the extraction and supply process. The Brewer Corporation are not without controversy. The fleet carrier manufacturers initially sold their megaships to commanders coated in paint which did not survive jumps through which space, resulting in paint crews having to accompany early models everywhere and providing brightly coloured retrieval wallets instead of escape pods to seal themselves into in the event of a crash. These later turned out to be badly disguised body bags. Hutton locals had begun a sit-in protest outside of the Brewer Corporation office in an effort to force the company to reconsider their plans, amid fears that the large pad would change the fundamental cheerful grottiness which defines the station and its inhabitants. Supported by the newly formed Hutton Orbital Preservation Society, they're telling everyone exactly why this is a really bad idea. One yokel said, if they add a large pad to the and then put a Type 9 on it, and then the station will tip over and we'll all slide down one end. Another commented, we don't like blow-ins. They have strange ways. A spokesperson for Red Planet Taxi Service, a budget travel company based on the station, was more optimistic, saying, this is a great idea. If we could hog a large landing pad with one of our haulers, it would make our drivers feel really good about themselves and would be great advertising for the company. Bring it on. He then ran off, pursued by locals with pitchforks and flaming torches. This reporter thought, get your tritium somewhere else. It's bound to be nicer and you're less likely to get food poisoning or gangrene. Also, why do they have pitchforks in the space station?
Universal Cartographics was rocked by a scandal this week as it was squarely blamed for a hack attack that left commanders confused as to exactly where rescue ships were in various systems. While shipboard systems are built under license to the Pilots Federation, who tightly control the control methods, visual displays, and ship management microsystems, the positioning data relayed to your ships comes from Universal Cartographics' megacomputer. Supercomputers having been phased out in the 2900s as they were way too slow for faster-than-light computations. All stations, megaships, fleet carriers and installations are equipped with a cartographic location and identification transmitter. We won't be broadcasting the shortened acronym for that, as it's naughty. We'll use an initialism so we don't get pulled off the air. The CLIT is a tiny device fitted in a hard-to-reach area of the station, usually right next to the black box, and has only one purpose. Get your mind out of the gutter. Seriously, this is an important story. We can't help it if they choose that name. It's there to make sure your ship systems know where the major body that it's attached to is. It broadcasts on a sub-witch space frequency that's near instant throughout the galaxy and helps everyone keep a track on everyone else. However, there have been reports that persons, governments, or organizations unknown, in fact, it could even be the Thargoids, have been messing with the CLIT and misreporting its location. This led to an emergency call from the Pleiades Sector KC-V C2-11 system, where the rescue ship allocated to Kipling Orbital, they do make exceedingly good cakes there, had disappeared up its own fundament and was reporting that it was inside a nearby planet. Shipboard navigation systems were directing pilots to the inside of said planet, with the ship systems searching in vain for an accurate position for the megaships CLIT. After a swift security patch, the hack was uncovered and a number of other misreported locations were discovered, including Perry Depot in Epsilon Indy and, of course, Hutton Orbital, which everyone knows is 0.22 light years from the jump point, but is to this day still reporting only 0.21 light years, which is a travesty. It is rumored that a faulty CLIT was responsible for the misjump of the Gnosis, and at least two fleet carriers said to be en route to Colonia are now reporting their position as somewhere out and about near Beagle Point. Of course, they could both be owned by Hanky. The software aboard megaship CLITs has been hardened to prevent future mislocation, though there is ongoing work to ensure that no one else ever is misguided as to their exact position.
Things have been mostly humming along this week in Hutton Space, tickety-boo with few dramas. Narnia has both recovered from its infrastructure failure and brought down its influence to sensible levels through the tried and tested method of just ignoring the problem and letting it go away. The pirates that were successfully cleared out of Hill Pass Sai seem to have moved on to Van Maanen Star, so if you have a permit, jump in there and help the hotboxes evict them with a modicum of prejudice. If you don't have a Van Maanen Star permit, why not? We have two systems below 40% this week. Barnard Star and Ross 671 are on 35%, needing immediate attention. No other factions are in conflict in Barnard Star, locking up it, and now is a good time to go in there and improve matters. We have an outbreak pending in Epsilon Eridani, which is on only 41%, so let's see some fleet carriers stocked up with meds and on station ready for when it hits. At the top end of the systems league, we have seven systems above 60%, with two on 74. During the week, Hutton expanded into the LP410-93 system, and happily, we are losing the war 2-0 against the Confederacy of Bile Taka to gain entry because it already has a player faction in control, it's a bit of a dump, and don't we already have enough LP systems and one more just makes things confusing. Meanwhile in Colonia, Grand Moff Hankey asked that truckers work for Hot Colin Pythias. No pay, no accommodation, just work, no bonus, no tax, no questions, just work. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Hutton influence in Barnard Star and Ross 671. If you want to shoot something, make sure Hutton loses two more days in the war in LP410-93 and clear the pirates out of VMS.
We've got a nice mixture of events again this week. Some ongoing expeditions, one that's finished, and news of two different ways that you could spend your weekend. Firstly, it's Comfy Cannon Cruise news time, sent by Commander Mephisto. Waypoint 60 of the Comfy Cannon Cruise featured a diverse assortment of peduncle trees and pods. After 3 days of rest there, Consu resumed route to a tritium mining spot, where she is now staying to refuel. Commander Yannick brings us the final update from the Apollo 15 50th anniversary expedition. The curtain has come down upon what is one of the most starred expeditions in the Pilots Federation has ever seen. The final tally was 571 commanders who joined up, making it the fifth most successful in history and one that will be long remembered. Our final destination was the home of the legendary peaks of David and Goliath, some of the largest mountain ranges in the galaxy, and a truly spectacular sight that I recommend all commanders see at least once. After the mass landing of ships on the 50th anniversary of Apollo 15's lunar touchdown, we celebrated those who had gone before us into the black. This happened with a plethora of mountain climbs, SRV cliff diving, crazy ship races and the infamous Drunken Donkey Demolition Derby, an event in which SRVs set out to wreck each other in as entertaining a way as possible. We, the expedition organisers, would like to thank the galactic media like Hutton Orbital Radio and all the other great media organisations that followed our trip into the unknown. But mostly, we'd like to thank all the commanders who were on the expedition. You were the expedition. We salute you all. That's Commander Yannick and the Apollo 15 Expedition Staff, or 7. Mission Liaison Commander Nicole Dyson has smuggled out a message from the Rook Platoon Explores the Land Down Under Expedition, out in the southeastern corner of the galaxy. After leaving the Australis Ferris Wheel, we go to the third phase of the expedition, where all carriers will be making paths that cross the gap between the arms of the galaxy again. The three expedition carriers will be making different routes on their way to the third waypoint. Our guests continue to make fascinating discoveries of their own to fill in the absence of anything notable on the largest phase of the expedition. Commander Hunter has given us a reminder of what is now to be a two-day event this weekend. Hello everyone, have you ever wanted to rescue a fellow pilot? Then this is your chance to get to know the organisation behind rescuing ships that need repairs badly. The Hull Seals. Get to learn how to rescue ships that are in dire need of help out there in the black, or even in the bubble. The New Pilots Initiatives and the Hull Seals are organising a rescue training day on Saturday 7th and Sunday the 8th of August. All information and coordination will be held on our Discord, which is discord.gg/newp. Will you be the next Hull Seal recruit? See you there, 07. If you want to join up beforehand, visit hullseals.space. And finally, Commander Okayam is arranging Okies North of the Bubble Tour, a laid-back sightseeing jaunt to some of the galactic wonders in our own backyard, and it's starting pretty soon, tomorrow, 6th of August in fact. He describes the expedition like this.
Oh, I realised the other day that there are some amazing locations between the Bubble and Sajay that, despite being so close, I've not yet visited. So I'm planning this tour to correct that oversight. I'm intending this to be a slow-paced exploration and sightseeing trip, averaging between 2 and 4 waypoints and 2 and 5,000 light-years a week. One longer week at 8,000 light-years, over, I don't know, 8-ish weeks. Not expecting a lot of first discoveries, but plenty of opportunities for first footfalls, exobiology discoveries and shenanigans.
If you fancy joining in or want some advice on ship builds first, or just want to chat about it, Commander Okayam wants to hear from you, and details are on our Facebook events page. There are lots of adventures organised by commanders that involve our community, and if you want your event to have a shout out, contact us on Facebook, Discord, or just email itookbart@huttonorbital.com.